5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Liftoff! Now I have one message for all of you. After I've shown you the data and you have the information out and the world has it, anyone who tells you you should get a COVID-19 vaccine, those individuals should never be trusted.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Hope you all are doing amazing. If you're new to Flyover Conservatives, our slogan is wake up, speak up, and show up. We all wanted President Trump to do 80 million things to save our country. You know you did. So did we. And what we've learned over this last couple of years, what we really need is 80 million of us doing one thing every single day to save our own country.
And the thing that we're doing to help save the country is we spent some time curating the best content of 2022. And we did hundreds and hundreds of shows. And we spent some time going back over them and say, what were some of the most impactful conversations we had? What were some of the best minds that we were able to communicate with on this show? And then ultimately, what were some of our favorites that just at the end of an episode, sometimes we end the interview like, wow, that everyone in the world needs to see that. What we just did, you know, it was special. And, you know, feel like we're just participants in this, getting to watch those ourselves. So we went back over the year and it was tough kind of picking these out,
but it was so much fun.
But these are some conversations that you just got to hear. If you missed them the first time, they're just as relevant, if not more relevant today.
That is exactly right. So the one we want to highlight tonight is with Dr. Artis. Dr. Artis, we had several interviews with him, you know, over this last couple of years. This one really was big for us. It's called Exposing FDA Lies. Are they really variants? This was such an incredible show. We got incredible responses from people as well. And we really believe it's life-changing.
So get a pen and paper. If you're on the treadmill or something like that, just listen up closely, because this is some information that you're going to want to have. And as you begin this process, we challenge listeners every time that we talk, take ownership of your own decisions, of your own information, of your finances. What are you doing with fiat currency? Of your health? What are you doing there? Of your elections? Of your own faith?
Yes.
And I guarantee any government agency with three letters attached to it, you need a question, you need to do your own research, and this episode will help you do that.
Welcome! Woo!
I love the audience.
I know.
Well, and they love you.
They love you.
They love you. Circular.
Well, I love all of you, so thank you for all the cheers.
We have so many things we want to get to. We got sheets of questions here, but I know that the crazy times we're in, every day there's something new. You know, the news cycle might have changed since we even started this interview. You know, there's just crazy things popping up. There's truths that have been held down for a long time, like trying to hold a basketball at the bottom of a swimming pool, and they just kind of eventually find their way to the surface. And there's more of that right now than ever. And you have a way of like articulating and breaking things down and putting them in a light where people just get it.
Well, that's great. I've actually continued to have such really great feedback on the fact that my delivery of information is really resonating with people that can understand it and then actually go apply it. And it brings some hope and reality that there's not as much fear and anxiety and panic or terminal issues related to things they've been told. So that's pretty much a narrative across the entire medical field that's been an outright lie for most things, especially related to COVID. So I don't know if you guys were aware. Thanks for having me on your show. We love you guys and love seeing you in person and hanging out with you all over the country. It really has been an honor for me. And your audience is very lucky to have you two standing for them. So thank you for making that available.
We love it. And when we're together, the part that people, the reason they receive some of these dark, heavy topics from you is because you're able to take them, but you maintain a place of like joy and a hopefulness and an optimism. When we're together in person,
oh my gosh, we laughed so hard every time we
get anything done, because everything goes straight up middle school, and you're laughing and you're creating some lightness to it. But you've maintained a joy in a dark season in a way that most people can't, and that's a very special thing.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I actually heard that this morning from Dr. Alan Keyes when I was on his show. And he goes, at the very end of it, he goes, I just love the hope and joy that you bring to these topics. And I'm not kidding. I was furious the whole time. Like, I was furious about the FDA. And I was like, really, you got that from me after this interview? That's weird. Because inside, I feel furious.
Right.
But I think the way I communicate things is just in a way that appears level-headed. So he's actually rational.
Yes.
So
right.
People who are angry and upset typically don't speak rationally. So I think that's what they think, mm-hmm. or maybe that's how they're receiving the message. So I just want everyone to know what's got me so upset and concerned is the fact that there are multiple doctors around the country, medical professionals who have been treating COVID-19 patients from the beginning. I am not one of those. I am not someone in hospitals. I'm a retired chiropractor. I am not the ones in the hospitals treating patients and watching them die or saving them. Mm. However, it was very easy to see and observe that the hospital protocols that have been set up since COVID-19 were established, set up, drugs were selected to actually kill people in hospitals, to convey a message that a virus was deadly when it wasn't, and then to get everyone in America to sign up for a vaccine campaign. And this campaign has been unrelenting. Mm-hmm. So I just have to let you know, now we're into the second plus year of this pandemic,
right?
2022. Yep. Just yesterday, January 24th, in Washington, D.C., Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin sat down with like 10 MDs mm-hmm. around the country. They had Dr. McCullough, who was there, Peter McCullough, who's a cardiologist and epidemiologist. They had Dr. Pierre Corey of the FLCCC.net. They had Dr. Ralph Merrick, who's the founder of FLCCC.net and has treated for 40 years patients in ICUs. That's his job. You have Dr. Richard Urso there. You have Dr. Ryan Cole, who's a pathologist. And they're all sitting at a table with this senator for 5 hours. And it was wow. live streamed. And Senator Ron Johnson wanted to know, what's the other narrative of COVID-19 that's not being told? And then he wanted to know, is it true the hospital protocols are being incentivized? Is it true the hospital protocols are causing harm? Is it true that your licenses as medical doctors is being taken from you? Is it true that they're holding protocols over your head and not allowing you to practice medicine? And
wow.
5 hours. He wanted to know everything related to masks, wanted to know everything related to vaccines. He wanted to know anything related to the new drugs that they're trying to push. And it was just a phenomenal, well done entire presentation. But most of it was just Q&A from Senator Ron Johnson.
What a crowd. Dr. Ryan Cole, Dr. Peter McCullough. I mean, that mix of people, mm-hmm. that's probably, Dr. Pierre Corey, that's an all-star, event of people who have really been taking it on the chin, speaking up for mm-hmm. these things all along. So to have someone, actually bring it to light, I'm assuming that's then locked in, the archives. That's like something that's not going to be deleted, like somebody's YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah. And it was great because Thomas Renz and Lee Dundas were in the audience. They had like 100 wow. people in the room, and they were allowed Thomas Renz to come and sit and expose some new Department of Defense documents and data on exactly what the vaccines are doing to people and causing harm to the military, which is outrageous. And Lee Dundas got to speak for a few minutes. And these are all people that we know and love. They're all a part of this movement. I actually was not going to Washington, D.C. this last week for this rally. There was no way I was going because it was one of few weekends for the next 3 months I was going to be able to spend with my kids. So when these two events got canceled, everybody's like, are you coming to D.C. with us? And I was like, no.
My
kids, because I haven't seen them very much for this whole last year and a half, 2 years. So anyway, that's what I chose to do. But I watched this event that was actually yesterday on Monday, and it was phenomenal to watch this group. Dr. Ralph Merrick, who actually started FLCCC.net, which has been championed for protocols in hospitals, at-home therapies. Ivermectin is probably the biggest thing that they promote and actually encourage. But to watch him, Senator Ron Johnson asked him, what's it like in hospitals? And,
wow.
In ICU. And he said, I've lost my job because the hospitals challenged me to not use the protocols that we know are saving lives. And they told me I had to use remdesivir as the treatment. And then he goes into the studies on remdesivir, which is everything I've brought to light for the last 2 years.
Yep.
He goes through each of them verbatim. And I was standing there going, yeah, finally. Like there's people that outside of me can actually blatantly say it. And he said, instead of our federal health agencies and our hospital administrators telling us you can practice medicine again and save lives, they are saying you're only going to do this one treatment. And he said, if you use remdesivir, you will die. And I was like, wow. That's all. I was so excited that he said.
Oh, you had to have been because you know it's been interesting. We did our interview with you, but you were speaking long before that. But remdesivir, I feel like, has become a household name for most patriots. But you're the one that really, for most of our listeners, brought it on the scene. That was the first time they'd ever even heard of that drug.
this is the weirdest thing. I'm called the Remdesivir guy.
Yeah.
I show up at all these events. I go show up in state capitol buildings to meet with legislators. And they'll look at me and go, Dr. Artis, you're the Remdesivir guy. And
I'm like,
so weird.
Like, you made it a household name.
I'm a chiropractor and have preached all natural things for years, but I'm most well known for a drug that I exposed. Heinously being used to murder innocent people around the world. And that's okay. All things happen and have been led by God, I believe. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I hear Ralph Merrick say this, and then it was great because Pierre Corey, he was asked to put in his input because he works in hospitals also, and he's had his privileges taken away from him in hospitals where he works.
Wow.
And they won't let him treat anybody because he will not just go with the narrative of using just remdesivir and dexamethasone, which is a steroid. And it was interesting to hear Dr. Pierre Corey say, he said, I believe the sole reason why everyone's dying in hospitals is because of this restriction on the amount of this corticosteroid called dexamethasone. And he says, they say you can use remdesivir with dexamethasone, but it's only 6 milligrams. And he's like, 6 milligrams? You use twice as much as that for someone who's having an asthma attack. We're talking about COVID.
Wow.
You need higher amounts of steroids. And it's funny because I was watching this and I was like, that's so funny that you're not blaming remdesivir. His problem is in May of 2020, he went before the NIH and the Senate in Washington, D.C. and said steroids are going to save everyone in hospitals if you just reduce the inflammatory response of this respiratory virus. Now, unbeknownst to Corey, I'm just going to tell you right now, he has no idea what we have been uncovering for the last 2 years on remdesivir. He is solely about saving their life, and he knows steroids can help. I am continued to bring to light the nefarious, the published, the research, the archived information that remdesivir not only is proven to cause acute kidney failure in 5 to 10 days, it also causes acute liver failure. And in October of 2021, there is an organization that creates a journal for the American Heart Association, and it's called the Cardiovascular Toxicology Journal. They produced an article and stated that remdesivir has cardiotoxic effects and it kills the heart's muscles, cells, and that its effects of damaging the heart are far worse than chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine are. And the reason why that is so significant is Anthony Fauci said he was selecting remdesivir in May of 2020, and then in the same memo bashed hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine. He said there was one study that confirmed chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine had actually caused detrimental effects on the heart that led to death of COVID-19 patients. Well, just 3 months ago, the Cardiovascular Toxicology Journal did their own review on remdesivir and found that it causes the cardiac arrest in patients, remdesivir does, causes heart block in patients, causes atrial fibrillation and death to heart cells worse than chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine. Now, fast forward, I'm sure Pierre Corey has not seen that study, but if you stop the hearts of people with the drug, they die. And all these people in hospitals are dying with this drug being pumped into their bodies. So I just want you to know, 3 months after, it's not even 3 months, it's 2 months after the Cardiovascular Toxicology Journal publishes this study, and it's online, you can find it, and I've gone through it all and showed the world that it destroys these multiple organs in the body and stops the heart from beating. If you look at this, the NIH on December 16th decided to update their recommendations for COVID-19 treatments in hospitals throughout this country. There's only one drug that they state is FDA approved for COVID-19 treatment. And it's remdesivir.
Remdesivir.
Well, just remdesivir. And on the side effects, on that chart, it actually says the drug delivery system for remdesivir. So what's in the drug? It comes in this little powdered form in a bottle, and they mix it with water. It's called lyophilized powder. The stuff in that powder with the drug that says that it's a drug vehicle is abbreviated SBECD. And this drug delivery system that remdesivir is in is known to cause acute kidney failure and liver failure. It's on the NIH's chart. So why in the world does anyone think if someone's struggling to breathe, it's a good idea to shut down their kidneys, their liver? And now we know from the Cardiovascular Toxicology Journal, it stops the heart. Now, why is this significant in our discussion today? Ralph Merrick is yesterday standing before the Senate, live streamed around the world. He's saying remdesivir kills people. And this is an ICU doctor. And he was begging his healthcare system to let him use ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and other therapies. That did work for the last 2 years. He had to sue his healthcare system that he works for to get them to allow him to use his drugs. And then the healthcare system went on a smear campaign and then took his license from him or stopped him from being able to practice in ICUs that he's been doing for
that
years.
That is so sad.
He has lost his job, is exactly what he said. So why is this significant? In Washington, D.C., you've got the top men and women who have been treating patients around the country. And Pierre Corey kept saying the same thing over and over. When Senator Ron Johnson would go, why is this happening? He would go, it is corruption at the highest level. Everything was corruption. It's all corruption. It's all corruption and greed. It's all money, blah, blah. Well, he continues to preach that there's this protocol that can help save lives. And there is. Y'all should all refer all of your audiences to flccc.net and their Math Plus protocol for any hospitalized Americans. That's going to work. Doesn't include remdesivir, which is great. But as a result of this meeting happened yesterday, and it was January 24th, 2022. And it finished at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Since that meeting ended at 2 p.m., the FDA decided to update its guidelines for approved drugs for COVID-19. And if you think I think this is ironic, I would like to just show you what it is. Because outside of remdesivir and dexamethasone talk, Dr. Peter McCullough was there and others who are using monoclonal antibodies to help save lives. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's being used around the country. You guys know Dr. Richard Bartlett. He's been treating 1,200 people per month for the last 3 months with zero deaths for COVID-19 using monoclonal antibodies, Regeneron specifically. Okay?
Okay.
So the FDA, after hearing these meetings all day yesterday, it's streamed live for the entire world with a senator, U.S. senator. The FDA decides to send out a memo saying we are updating all treatments for COVID-19. And would you like to see what their actual
update is? Come what on. Is going on?
It reads, coronavirus update. FDA limits the use of certain monoclonal antibodies to treat COVID-19 due to the Omicron variant.
Oh, interesting.
Look at the date. January 24, 2022 is just yesterday for immediate release. Yeah, no kidding. I'm sure they're struggling with this one. We can't let them use it anymore. So what it says here is, we'll just read the first paragraph. As we have throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, the Food and Drug Administration has used the best available science as the virus has evolved to make informed decisions with the health and safety of the American public in mind, ensuring that healthcare providers on the front lines have the best tools available to treat patients is a top priority for the agency.
Yep.
Just yesterday, the top frontline doctors in the industry were actually telling you that this organization, the FDA, the NIH, and the CDC are restricting their ability to use, as they mentioned here, best tools available. They already can tell you what the best tools are. So in light of the most recent information and data available today, the FDA, ironically on the 24th of January, revised the authorizations for two monoclonal antibodies. And it is, you'll see this initial on the back of named drugs, MAB.
Okay.
MAB, if you ever see that on the end of a name of a drug, that is abbreviated monoclonal antibody. Okay. That's why they end with MAB, and you'll notice all four of these do. You see that?
Yep.
MAB. This is how you know it's a monoclonal antibody. They actually are restricting the use of Regeneron, which has been used around this entire country for early treatment now for months. They just said no longer are they going to allow these two monoclonal antibodies or Regeneron to be used. And this is what they said. Because data shows that these treatments are highly unlikely to be active against the Omicron variant. And it states the Omicron variant, it is estimated here, let's see, right here. Based on the CDC, right here, it says that based on the CDC, the Omicron variant of SARS-CoV-2 is estimated to account for more than 99% of cases in the United States as of January 15th. Now, this is important. So they're saying that Regeneron and the other drugs, the other monoclonal antibodies, are not effective against the Omicron variant. Okay? And then they say it's highly unlikely that COVID-19 patients seeking care in the U.S. at this time are infected with a variant other than Omicron. And these treatments are not authorized to be used at this time. Do you see that?
Why would they do this?
I'm going to show you. It's highly unlikely that COVID-19 patients seeking care in the U.S., because 99% of them have Omicron, at this time are infected. Truly, none of them have another variant other than Omicron. And because these drugs don't treat Omicron, they're not authorized at this time. And then they say this avoids exposing patients to side effects such as injection site reactions, like, you know, you punctured a hole in the skin. Oh, that hurts. We're not going to expose them to that. Or allergic reactions to a drug, which can be potentially serious from specific treatment agents that are not expected to provide benefit to patients who have been infected with or exposed to the Omicron variant. All right. So they're saying all people in America only have Omicron, 99% of them. The current monoclonal antibodies we are no longer allowing to be used in America or any of its territories. I'm not joking. That's what this document says. And then it goes on to tell you which ones they are going to allow. Importantly, there it is. There are several other therapies. Paxlovid, Sotrovimab, Veklury, which is Remdesivir, and Molnupiravir, that are expected to work against the Omicron variant and that are authorized or approved to treat patients with mild to moderate COVID-19 who are at high risk for progression to severe disease, including hospitalization or death. So now they're telling you there's only these four drugs that can be used from here on out. The interesting thing about this, we just learned yesterday, and I've known for 2 years now, this one drug has killed all Medicare age patients in this country, 26.9% of all of them who got Remdesivir for 5 days. That's the information from CMS data. The next two drugs, Paxlovid is created by Pfizer. It's a clinically researched drug right now, brand new drug supposedly, and Molnupiravir, which is a Merck drug. But look at this other drug that they said is okay to be used. So Sotrovimab, what do you notice on the end of this word?
MAB?
Yeah, MAB.
That's a monoclonal antibody. You know, it's interesting. Look at the top of the article. Coronavirus update. FDA limits use of certain monoclonal antibodies to treat COVID-19 due to the Omicron variant. And then they tell you, throughout here, we just showed you that there's four different monoclonal antibodies that don't work. So this is not a joke. This is exactly what I want to show your audiences. Okay? Can I show you something?
Yes, please.
We're going to keep it up. This drug right here, all I did was go like this. Ready? Watch this. I'm going to type up here a website, www.c19early.com, early.com. Hit enter. Remember the name of that drug. This is updated every day, this actual website. This looks at all research studies around the world. Now, what I was curious about this morning was, why did the FDA say you can use this one monoclonal antibody, but we're going to bash these ones that are being used around the country and in all territories? Mm-hmm. This didn't make any sense. Why are you picking on some monoclonal antibodies and not the other? So I want to bring you here to all mortality results. This is their update to which drug therapies and nutrients around the world are being found to be the most effective at keeping people from dying with COVID-19 in hospitals.
Okay.
And you'll see improvement is here. This right here. This first column is improvement. And then you'll see the percentages of improvement for all people in these research studies and the drugs they received here to the left.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's just look at Sotrovimab. Okay.
Wow, that's way down there.
The FDA just said, yeah. Okay. So let's bring your attention to a couple things for your audience. Okay. They just said Remdesivir can be used. I want to show you on this chart. It's way down here at the bottom. You see this? Remdesivir. It only is shown in 25 studies with 98,000 patients at $3,000 a pop that Remdesivir has only helped to improve death rates by 19%. That means it's only showing that 19% of people that get Remdesivir actually live.
That's so sad.
Okay.
They love it, though.
Here at the bottom, the FDA just said that's one of the three drugs that only can be used. I want to bring your attention to these three drugs. Remdesivir has an average 5-day cost of $3,120 worldwide. Sotrovimab, this new monoclonal antibody they're saying can be used, $2,100. Look at this one. Paxlovid, the Pfizer drug, $700 a pop. Now, Molnupiravir is from Merck. It's $700. Look at ivermectin, though. I mean, just it's so absurd here. Let's look at ivermectin, if it's even on this list.
It's in the middle.
Yep.
Right
in
here.
In the middle. Yep.
Ivermectin. Look at this. 37 studies, 44,000 patients, average cost
$1.
Well, that can't be good for you.
Yeah.
Now, I want to show you this. 37 studies with ivermectin, 44,000 patients, $1. Look at Paxlovid that the FDA just said. There's only been one study with 2,000 patients, average cost $700. And then look at this, Sotrovimab. There's only been two studies with 1,400, $2,100. And then Remdesivir, 25 studies, 98,000. It only has a 19% success rate, but it's $3,120. It's the four most expensive treatments on this list, period, that they're actually pushing. The ones they're bashing is this one right here, $1,250 for a combination. And then Regeneron is this one right here, $2,100. They're bashing these two. So I wanted to know, why did the FDA decide yesterday to bash this one and this one?
Yeah.
Why did they want to pick this one? So I want to know, what's so great about this one? So I clicked the button. You click the drug, and it brings up their studies. Now, I went just like this. They're showing you the studies that they're supporting these numbers for, okay? This is what the FDA would have. And I went like this morning. I was looking at all the dates here on the left, and I want to know what's the most current study that's been done on this drug. And I opened it. Watch this. So then I opened it. Now, I want to show you something. You can look at these. I just want to show you something. Mortality means survival. Look at its improvement.
-2%?
-2%. That means the people didn't live. All right, so it made no improvement in their lifespan.
And they approved it. That's the one that they want.
And the FDA said, we want you to use this one. All right, now, this is the most recent published research study, and I'm going to show you the study. This is where it is. Do you see these numbers right here?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is in the Lancet Infectious Disease, and this is exactly what I did this morning. I opened this like this, and I said, I want to see the study. I just have to show you how big the fraud is, okay? This is the most recent study. I want you to look at this. See when it's published right here?
December 23rd, 2021.
Yep, this is only like 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
4 weeks ago. This is when the article was published. Okay, this is only a few weeks ago. So I'm like, amazing. I want to know what they found. I want you to see something that I just think is ridiculous. This is the actual study. The study was done between December 16th, 2020 and March 1st, 2021. The study ended March 1st, 2021, but it published 3 weeks ago. See that?
Yeah. So like 9 months later.
Okay. So I have to tell you, this is what they're doing in this trial. This gives you the background here. And what they're doing at the background is they wanted to compare Sotrovimab to another two combo monoclonal antibodies. And you'll see their abbreviations right here. BR2, BR2. 196 and 198. These are two different monoclonal antibodies combined together, and they're going to compare these two monoclonal antibodies with Sotrovimab with another group of patients, and then they're going to have a placebo group, which means they're not getting anything. And they picked hospitalized adults with COVID-19. Okay? I want to show you what their findings were. Okay, so they started giving these patients the drugs, and then the placebo group, none. I just have to tell you, this is so ridiculous. It says, at this point, enrollment was halted on the basis of the interim futility analysis at day 5. So
what does that mean?
I'm going to tell you. So in this study, they started giving Sotrovimab to a group of people, and this combo BR2196 plus BR2198 monoclonal antibody drug, experimental. And then they gave a group of people zero, a placebo group. That means they got no drugs, mm-hmm. and they're sick with COVID. Within 5 days of giving people these two drugs and a group none, on day 5, they had to halt enrolling. It says here, they had to, at this point, enrollment was halted. They couldn't bring any more patients into the study on the basis of the interim futility analysis, which means in the interim, in those 5 days, the results were futile, which means they weren't any good. And this is what they found. They said at day 5, neither Sotrovimab group nor the other monoclonal antibody group had significantly higher odds of more favorable outcomes than the placebo group. On the pulmonary scale, or the pulmonary plus complication scale. That means in 5 days, they realized there was zero improvement being made with either one of these monoclonal antibodies.
And that's what they approved. They approved that drug.
Yes. Okay. So I want to show you this. This is in The Lancet, just published December 23rd. And the FDA just said, and I just told you, this is the most recent one they just published on this drug. I went down like this. I was like, okay, well, this was, if they had to stop the actual trial on day 5 because they didn't see any benefits, what was the conclusion of the study? Look at this. Interpretation. You got to read that. Neither sotrovimab nor the other two monoclonal antibodies showed efficacy for improving clinical outcomes among adults hospitalized with COVID-19. Wow. So they actually published that neither one of these monoclonal antibodies made any improvements to the outcomes of COVID-19 hospitalized patients. And then I went like this. I wonder who funded this study. Look at that. Look who funded this study. Our U.S. National Institutes of Health in Operation Warp Speed.
What a cluster.
The NIH has known since March 21st of 2020 that this drug made zero improvement in patients that were hospitalized for COVID-19. And then they published and encouraged The Lancet to publish this 3 weeks ago. And then they used it as one of their studies to support its use. But if you don't go look at the study, you have no idea. So was that helpful for you? Did this bother you? It bothered me.
Oh, that makes me so mad. I mean, they are literally trying to kill people.
Yep, they
are. Not help them.
I mean, I'm trying to find other words, you know, than that, because that's so stark and accusatory. But I don't know how else to describe that. They have protocols that are worse than COVID. The hospital's more deadly than the virus. And on top of that, they intentionally are profiteering from the use of drugs and medication that they themselves approved are ineffective, if not nefariously bad.
All right, so I want to go back to the FDA document that was published yesterday. I actually believe the FDA put this out as a reaction to those doctors speaking out yesterday with Senator Ron Johnson. And I do not think it's ironic. So I have to show you this. So here on the FDA's own document, they said, based on, I highlighted on the screen, based on the Centers for Disease Control, that's the CDC, and prevention data, the Omicron variant of SARS-CoV-2 is estimated to account for more than 99% of cases in the United States as of January 15th. And then they go on to say that the monoclonal antibodies of Regeneron, this is the ones they're saying are no longer allowed to be used.
Yep.
And Regeneron and the other combo right here.
That Dr. Bartlett's been using for the last 3 months, 1,200 patients at a time, and lost zero.
Yep.
Per month.
They're going to limit and remove their ability to use this. And look at this. It says, because data shows that these treatments are highly unlikely to be active against the Omicron variant, which is circulating at a very high frequency throughout the United States, these treatments are not authorized for use in the United States, territories, and jurisdictions at this time. How about that? So that's what they say. You're not allowed to use them anymore anywhere in the United States. Now, I have to bring your attention back to this. I know this is going to seem odd, but when I told you I'm going to expose all their lies, this lie in this document is about the most absurd. So what's the percentage they say right now in the United States is the most common variant of COVID-2?
99% Omicron.
99% of it is Omicron. And then they publish this statement that none of these other drugs are working against Omicron. So you're not allowed to use it. You can only use remdesivir and these really expensive drugs and this one monoclonal antibody that doesn't work. Okay. I want to ask you is it true that Omicron is spreading throughout the United States and it's affected 99% of all the cases in the U.S.? What do you think?
I mean.
Sure seems to be.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it definitely seems to be.
So from what you've heard, that's true, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So can I destroy some more of this lie for you?
Might as well. It's why you're here.
Okay. Here we go. Ready? Let's do this for your audience. We're going to go to DuckDuckGo, and I'm going to type in FDA.gov. Who can tell me what FDA stands for?
Food and Drug Administration.
Food and Drug Administration.
Food and Drug Administration.
What does .gov mean?
Dot government?
not government. All right, so the Food Drug Administration is a division of our government. It's a government entity. All right, here we go. So I'm going to type in FDA.gov COVID tests.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to go right here. Okay, if you type that in a DuckDuckGo and you go down to the third link here, you'll notice it's an FDA site.
Okay.
I'm going to open this, the third link. Notice to the top left, you see the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA's logo. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
You are currently on the FDA's website. The FDA just said Omicron is representing 99% of all the cases in the United States right now, and it's ravaging quickly throughout the U.S.
Yep.
And the FDA is so kind and loving to all of us.
True.
That they decided to let us know that the current monoclonal antibodies that are on the market, used around the country, are not effective against this Omicron spreading around the country. So here we go. Let's just learn a little bit here, shall we? Okay, I'm going to highlight this for you. Read that out loud for me, Stacey.
Do COVID-19 tests check for the Omicron, Delta, and other variants?
Okay, now it says currently. Currently means today. I just looked it up. Currently means right now. Currently means today. All right. Read this sentence to me, Stacey, the whole thing.
Okay. Currently, COVID-19 tests are designed and authorized to, it's hard to read from where I am.
It's got a big monitor across the studio here.
To so. Check.
Okay. I'm going to read it.
Okay.
Currently, COVID-19 tests are designed and authorized to check broadly for the SARS-CoV-2 virus and not for specific variants, sometimes called SARS-CoV-2 viral mutations or genetic mutations.
Hmm. Well, how would they know that it's 99% Omicron if the test doesn't differentiate?
Okay, so let's go back to the question here, and this is the FDA. The FDA just said Omicron is flying around the United States.
Yep. And he says there, do the tests actually go for the specific things? And
it says, do COVID-19 tests check for Omicron, Delta, and other variants? And this word's very significant. Currently. That means right now.
Yeah.
COVID-19 tests are designed and authorized to check broadly for the SARS-CoV-2 virus and not for specific variants, sometimes called SARS-CoV-2 viral mutations or genetic mutations. Well, if that's true and there's no COVID-19 test that check for Omicron, how did they know that 99% of all of our current, how did they make this statement right here?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't go to medical school, but I'm assuming they had the magic eight ball.
They asked it.
How in the world can they make this statement? 99% of all the cases in the United States are Omicron. It actually says it's Omicron. It's mm-hmm. Omicron variant. It's Omicron. It doesn't say it's SARS-CoV-2. It says Omicron.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is circulating at a very high frequency throughout the United States. What is the Omicron? Mm-hmm. Is there a test for Omicron?
Nope.
No, I would like to know why every medical doctor, scientist, every person in the media is saying Omicron spreading like wildfire. Delta is flying around when the FDA itself says there's no test for COVID-19 variants. Isn't that odd to you?
Very odd.
You see the level of deception and fraud. They're just making up stuff. They literally are making up stuff. The Omicron variant, how many doctors have you heard say it looks like the common cold? Do you want to know why it looks like the common cold? It is the common cold. They're making this up. The whole thing's made up. There's no test to even tell you it's Omicron. It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. Yep. The whole thing makes me furious.
Oh, right, my gosh.
That's why, they got beat up with the memes early on. That, a picture of a bottle of NyQuil and all the things it helps with. And then a list of Omicron symptoms. And it's like,
Mm-hmm.
These are made for each other.
On the screen, right? This is from C19early.com. So let's just give you some truths. Early treatment studies. This is a combination of every medication, over-the-counter, mineral, vitamin, period. And I'm going to bring your attention first to the third item on the list. It's called Nigella sativa. This is black seed powder.
Okay.
You'll see there's three studies with 915 people. They saw it had an 84% success rate at beating COVID. And it only cost $5. Then we're going to go down to the next nutrient on the list, which is vitamin D. And thanks to Dr. Richard Bartlett, you see right about there, budesonide at 82%. Mm-hmm. Vitamin D, there's six studies with 16,000 patients published. Look how much it costs to treat early COVID with vitamin D. $1.
Dr. Artis, something to bring out here is, like, I remember Ryan Cole having a video like his maybe town hall or something wherever he lives, maybe Idaho or something like that. I don't remember the date exactly, but we're talking early, like maybe March 2020, something like that. You know, talking about just vitamin D, just the importance of vitamin D to help, you know, prepare yourself. You know, if you get the survivability rates, he went through all that stuff, and then it's just, he's deleted from the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Actually, he has three states right now threatening to take his medical license from him, and he is having to fight legal fees galore to try to preserve his actual.
That is so sick. That is sick.
And last Monday, he just said it in this interview yesterday. We were texting about it a week and a half ago. I was asking him how he's doing. He's really depressed. The insurance contracts that pay for his pathology tests, he lost 40% of all of his income because insurance companies dropped him as a client.
Wow.
Because of all of this. So he's really struggling emotionally. He said that this trip to DC, I was surprised to see him there because I talk to him all the time, but he's just hiding up there in Idaho now, not doing any interviews because they beat him down so much. But I want to take you through this. So vitamin D, let me just show you. Vitamin D is effective. You see, it only costs $1. Let's go to the next nutrient. It's vitamin A, two below vitamin D. Mm-hmm. 79% success rate, two studies, 240 people, $2. Let's go to the next one. You're going to go down past remdesivir, which they list here as an early treatment protocol. You just got to know. People look at this and go, but Dr. Artis, how come remdesivir has a 76% success rate in early treatment? That's because Gilead did two studies. You see it? Two with 934 people. They gave this poison to people for 3 days only in early treatment and then sent them home. So this wasn't a five-day protocol. If you gave someone a little bit of arsenic, they won't die. If you gave them a day's worth, they will die. So this is just less poison, and they can actually manipulate the data to make it look like it's safer. Remdesivir is not safe in any level. Zinc, you'll see right below remdesivir, zinc at 74%, three studies, 982 people. What's the cost per day for treatment?
$1.
Let's go to curcumin, which is turmeric, two down below from zinc. 71% effective, six studies, 700 patients, $5 at most. Povidone iodine, 71%, seven studies, 878 people, $1. You see this?
Yep.
Vitamin C, you'll see down there at the bottom. Now, I went ahead and did something for your audience. Do you want me to put it on the screen? I would like to.
Yes, yeah. Yes, please.
I just went through that whole research study. I mean, that whole compilation there, and I pulled out all the nutrients that are proven to beat COVID-19 early. And if you combine all these together, you're going to have success of 100% at beating COVID-19. Each of those studies you just saw was just the mineral or vitamin by itself, nothing else, and its ability to beat COVID-19. Now, if people at home will just screenshot this, it has the actual doses. I went into all the research studies to find out what they used that actually showed to be the most effective at beating COVID. So you'll see each of them on here. Isn't this great? I made this easy for you. So
good. And we actually, when we had you on the show last time, we had a where people can text in to the word vax. And it will give them information. We'll add this to the VAX. So if somebody just texts the number 40509, text the word VAX, V-A-X, we'll make sure that this is in there.
If you're listening on Podbean or one of the audio onlys, you know, just again, 40509, the letters V-A-X, and you'll get that screenshot as well as there's some incredible interviews and some videos that you recommended last time we put it added inside that download.
It's great. Good. Now, I just want to bring attention to the povidone iodine at the bottom. This is extremely beneficial as a gargle and a nasal wash. But I gave you there how to prepare that and how to use it. So you don't have to go looking into the research studies. Super easy. They actually figured out that iodine just sprayed up the nose and then gargled in the mouth twice a day was over 80% effective at preserving the lives of people in hospitals with COVID-19 and them going home. Just doing that twice a day, which is phenomenal.
Wow.
I got a question. My next question then is, people hear this and it, you know, the majority of people that listen to our show regularly have been exposed to different everything, whether it's, you know, election issues or just different things. There's probably a healthy dose of distrust, you know, in government agencies by nature.
Thank God.
Yes.
You know, but we're you know, I like your comment on this photo here because it seems to be that's what's happening to the people outside of this group. you know, our listeners. You're starting to see it with people that I would consider themselves on the left. They're Biden voters. They're like, you know, cheering on even, you know, BLM, Antifa, you know, all this kind of stuff. And but the world's kind of getting shuffled now into these two groups of people that's a little bit less Republican, Democrat, a little bit less left and right, and kind of it's really getting boiled down to two groups. Ones that are okay with an authoritarian regime, that are continuing to force a narrative that doesn't even pass the eye test of the common person. And then this other group over here that says, I'm not okay with that. You know, it's like either you're okay with the government doing what they're doing or they're not. And it's weird who's popping up in the deal. Mm-hmm. They're being forced to, you know, give you these, we don't understand some of the science behind some of these things here. You would probably have to explain it because you do a lot more research and you know more big words than we do. I just look at it and it looks stupid. Why you'd have a glass shield between swimmers. You probably understand the medical reasoning behind it, but people are so fed up mm-hmm. with all this garbage that it's kind of weird who's in my foxhole today, the Joe Rogans and Barry Weiss, you know, the writer for the New York Times, you know, quit the New York Times. And like, it's odd who's in this space now that probably wouldn't have been a year ago, but people are getting frustrated and very, very awake and very mm-hmm. active here. So what is your message then to people who are at that point? They're like, you know what? I hate Trump. I don't even particularly care for the flag. America's probably good. You know, Scandinavia is better. I like Bernie Sanders. I mean, all these things that would have been a weird mix. I'm not pro-life. I'm not stuff, but I don't want my government killing my grandma and my family, you know, and they're kind of mm-hmm. like, I'm against that. So we kind of unify on this like most fundamental thing. It's almost like aliens were attacking us, you know, from the shore or something. Like, I don't care if you're a Raiders fan, Chiefs fan, who you are, like all of a sudden we unite. We're against the aliens attacking on the beach. And we're and the world is kind of coming together in a recognition that we're being murdered by our own governments that's using our own tax dollars to kill us. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of waking up to that. What's your message to them, people?
What's your closing comment on it?
Like what do they do next? They're getting this. What's your message to those camps of people that are like, oh, I really want to do this, but oh, man, and maybe politics and other things are involved, and it's beyond that now.
Mm-hmm. So this is basically what I would say, I guess, as my wrap-up comments to all of it. For those of you who chose to get the vaccines, who chose to or choose to follow hospital protocols or continue to go there, you have every right to do that. None of us are trying to stop you from doing that. You have every right to make that choice and go do it. Now, in order to be great for humanity, to be great for another human being, it would be to be respectful for them and their choices. But they have to be free to make those choices. You cannot stand back and think it's okay that you can make a choice on your own that you believe is correct, and then project that your ideal is the only ideal for everyone else, and they have to do it or else. And I have to just give some of this. I think if I could just say one thing, I've said it, I think to every human being I've ever met and gotten to know throughout my entire life, since I was a teenager at least, this is what people would say. Why do you think so many people like you? This is what they say. Why do you think so many people like you? And it seems like no one's a stranger to you, Brian, is what I've always heard my whole life. And I would say in every moment of every day, it doesn't matter if I'm standing in the food line at like a grocery store to check out or at a theater or at a church or at an event. This is not a joke. If you don't watch me and see this is how I behave, it doesn't matter who's standing there in front of me. I actually think, how can I be great for this person right now? That's actually what I think. How can I be great and show up for you? And so I try to show up for as many people as possible who want to do interviews, who want to spread truth. That's just something I want to do because I want to be great for you. And if others could actually just take the stance they want to be great for other people, the first thing you would recognize is you can't take their rights from them. You can't take their jobs from them and be great for them. You cannot make them feel shame and guilt for not signing up for a vaccine when they don't want to, whatever the reason is. If they want to put themselves in harm's way and you think that's what they're doing, let them do it. Like, just let them do it. Just tell them, look, I don't agree with it. I wish you would look at this information or data. It's what they're going to do with you. So please be great for other people and respect their liberties and their God-given ability to have free agency to make choices on behalf of their life experience and their children's life experience they've been entrusted to raise those children with. God gave them that opportunity. Don't dictate to them that you know better, because you don't. You only know better for what's best for you. So stay great for other people. And anyone who projects, and I said this up on stage in Phoenix at the event we were at. I was only there for like an hour, but I was one of the first speakers. And I wrapped up my comments with this. I said, I'm going to give you all this data and information about the actual COVID-19 vaccines, the data that CDC has published, the FDA has published, that tells you and the American Heart Association that these are dangerous. And when I got done showing them all the data, I just stood there and I said, now I have one message for all of you. After I've shown you the data and you have the information now and the world has it, it's accessible, it's been published by all these agencies. Anyone who tells you you should get a COVID-19 vaccine or a booster shot, those individuals should never be trusted. If they're telling you that you have to get it and that you they recommend it, anybody that would recommend anything that causes harm on another individual, you should never trust those individuals, ever. And that's what I said. And I looked at the audience and I said, because anyone who's saying that, I don't trust. I just want you to know that. So be great for others. Love each other. Love thy neighbor as thyself, I guess would be the message from the Bible, right? Love thy neighbor as thyself. And I'm trying to do that. And, Clay Clark came out there on the stage and he asked me to address certain things that have been going around with this movement that were creating discord. And I didn't know he was going to do this. He just walked out and he goes, can you please stay here? There's people that are saying we're praying to Satan behind the stage, like at these events, and that we're spreading anthrax on food. And this is the first time I ever heard that stuff. So I'm standing on the stage and he goes, what do you have to say to that? And my response was, if I ever for a second had an inclination or an awareness that you guys were praying to Satan, I wouldn't show up.
Right. Exactly. I
if I was aware that we were spreading anthrax on our food, I'm eating that food. So I wouldn't be here. If right. I knew we were trying to sabotage our own thing. And then I said, there's just one thing I'm absolutely certain of. Everybody that's behind the stage, just regardless of their egos, their values, their viewpoints, every single one of them are here and continue to show up here all over the country for one reason. Your life, your liberty, your pursuit of happiness, and your health are all being destroyed and threatened to be removed. And every single person showing up is trying to preserve all those rights and liberties for you to be able to do that.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the thing.
We will shut you down. We will cite you. And if we need to, we will arrest you and we will take you to jail. Period.
I wasn't thinking of the Bill of Rights when we did this.
But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute.
God actually spoke to me. He spoke about sacredness. He said to me, Kim, what I place in many, many people is sacred. And if anybody touches what is sacred to me, then it is the end for them. So what I've done in the United States of America is sacred. And there are people on every side that are trying to destroy what I deem sacred. And it's not going to happen.
This is the definition of criminal conspiracy, racketeering, and collusion. This is not a theory. This is evidence.
Because I have upheld this country to spread a light to the rest of the world. Go and get the sacred thing that God put into the very heart and the soil of this nation. This was sacred to God.
This reawakened tour is literally what it means. It has reawakened the American heart.
For more great content, go to flyoverconservatives.com.